Last time we talked, we spoke about that law that allows you to add on the liquor licenses.
Right.
I found that very interesting. And I think that week you were going to talk with the city council about making that more of a prospect. Did that happen?
It did happen at the city council level. We passed, well, I took them the information, not only how we would set up the structure to be able to go ahead and facilitate the awarding of those licenses, or at least the recommendation for those licenses, so they could go to our local commission to be voted upon. But we talked about that, also a resolution that referred obviously specifically to the 2005 legislation and the changes in 2007 that are reflective of the situation we have here in Greencastle. And I wasn't sure if they were going to be ready to pass it, because there was quite a bit of information. Oh, they had gotten it early. Did they want more time to think about it? Did they want some time for reactions? And to a person, they said, nope, we're ready, because it's an important economic development tool to have in our arsenal. So it's an important thing for people looking at us and whether or not there's the availability to sell beer and wine and liquor with a restaurant license, if you choose to. If you don't, that's fine too. But for some people, that's a big part of their profit and the money making of that particular venue, so they're looking for that. So without reservation and a 5-0 vote, they passed it and it moved on, and I sent all the things to our state commission, and I'm waiting for what happens next. Do they have to put a stamp on it and say you're ready to go, or something they'd like us to tweak? They felt pretty reassured that we were following the same procedure that Valpo had been using for 9 years, 10 years now. And so they weren't too concerned about what we had set up procedurally. And again, the one question was, did we fit the criteria? And again, we seem to indeed fit the criteria.
How has the reaction been with business owners?
I haven't gotten any pushback from any of our present restaurant owners. I think they know it's not always easy to move into the restaurant business in a small community, and it does take dedication and time and perseverance. So I don't think they're thinking there'll be an onslaught of 10 new restaurants coming to town anytime soon. But for people who are looking, and for property owners, it's been received with a great deal of appreciation and hope that it's really going to turn the tide on some of the offerings that we have downtown.
This week, the governor introduced a new commissioner at the BMV.
Yes, he did.
And more refunds due to excise tax refund. This also hits every county in the state, or at least it did back in November, where Putnam County was having to pay back almost $500,000. Is that something that trickles down to you at all?
It'll be interesting to see how this particular bout of this is handled. We haven't been asked to refund anything at this point in time, so I don't know if that means that we hadn't received yet, so you can't take away and it was still sitting over at the county offices. What I think is interesting and somewhat of a concern is that the people in the BMV obviously are going to have to do something in terms of recouping dollars for the people who were overcharged, but the people who were undercharged, they're just going to walk away from that, and that loss will be the loss for all of us. So I think that's the other part of this, that there's revenue most likely that hasn't come in that also affects. So it's kind of a double loss for counties and communities throughout Indiana that this has happened again. Yeah. And I think the past BMV director has been moved over to FFSA, right?
I'm not sure.
That's what I had heard. So, you know, again, there's been kind of a rejuggling, and you hope this rejuggling is one that creates a situation where these issues don't come up again.
How about some stellar updates?
Wow. You know, we're getting so close to being finished. And so I think every time we're able to check something off, it's like, thank goodness, we are almost there. Where we are right now is at our Board of Works meeting in January. We went ahead and awarded contracts to the contractor who's going to finish the last owner-occupied rehab homes. So by the end of June, most especially after the weather changes, we'll have completed 25 home renovations here in the greater Greencastle area, most of them concentrated in the Stellar area. So that's a nice thing that will be completed. Our two parking lots, as of last week Friday, people can now use them. We're going to have a brief period where we're going to have to go back in and put the final coats of asphalt on, but they are indeed open for business. So that's something that, since we started the whole parking discussion here, it's been more than 3 years to see these spaces come to reality. So that's very exciting. We are in a process now of having the easement signed and recouping our 10% match dollars for the facade program. and that award hopefully will come without too much difficulty from the Office of Community and Rural Affairs. And that's going to be about a $1.6 million project for the city and the property owners, with the help of Okra along the way to do 12 more facades, which means we pretty much have taken care of most of the downtown between the first and second phase. And that will go out to bid very quickly after we get that award letter from Okra. We have had a bit of a snafu on our Vine Street project that did go to letting early in January, and the bids, only two were given, which is not up to NDOT requirements. You need three or more to have an award made. But not only were there only two bids, but they were both considerably over the engineer's estimate on the project. So we're working on modifying what is actually in those specs, seeing if there are some things that we can do to make it more attractive to contractors. And we go out again for letting the very first week in March and hope that we have something that we can say it falls within the parameters of what we can afford, and the state says you've got enough bidders, and we can get started on that project, which again is our last road construction project, but is one, as we've talked about before, it's a complete breakdown of the road and a rebuilding from the bottom up. So it creates a lot of havoc, and we had hoped to get it finished before DePauw students came back in August. The likelihood of that happening now with the March letting is not nearly as good.
Going back to the downtown apartments, do you ever get in those discussions with either residents or community council members about the balance between student housing and resident housing? Does that ever happen here?
We don't have that happen here because the university has all students living within residential units that they control. So what we're doing now with these new 11 loft spaces downtown, they're not going to be student inhabited. So they'll be strictly for our community folks who want to live in the downtown and want to have that experience. And that project will also be moving forward. We'll probably see the bidding on that, and we'll see the property owners putting their match down on that as soon as we can get the facade program out to bid, because there's no way to do them both simultaneously.
I saw in the banner graphic that the city had a pretty big water main break. Any damage or?
No, it's fixed.
Fixed back to normal.
It's fixed back to normal. You know, we have a lot of old clay pipe in the city, and when that happens, it's usually something that we haven't anticipated, but old lines rupture and break, and we have to get in there and fix the road after we fix the line and hopefully get people back in service without too much difficulty. And we work really well with our local contractors to help get that happen, and most certainly our folks are on top of it as soon as possible and try to cut down on any difficulties that creates for those of us who are in the city and our users in that particular area. But we've been pretty fortunate in being able to catch them quickly and to repair them. But old distribution systems, wow, they're just really, really difficult to stay completely on top of.
Right after we met in January, you gave the State of the City address. How was that received this year?
I think people are pleased on a number of accounts. I think they're pleased that the city is solvent, and we certainly have talked a lot over the last 7 years about how there really are fiscal concerns that those of us in cities and towns and counties need to be attentive to, and that it's not just large communities, but even more importantly, it's small communities like ours that are really faced with the challenges. And when I can report that, you know, we came in under budget in all of our departments, that we ended the year in the black. We at that time didn't know what our approved budget would be for 2015. We have just last week received that, and I'm really pleased to say that in all except three areas, we were totally funded at our budget request, and that's been done with an increased AV from what decreased from last year, but more than DLGF had initially told us to plan for. So I think we are very pleased with the financial numbers, and people say that's a good thing. We don't have to cut back services. You're still going to be able to have the same kind of amenities available in the city that you've had, and the same kind of work done for you by city employees. I think people are also pretty positive about what we have been able to accomplish in terms of infrastructure and what the plans are as we move forward. Granted, it's not been without disruption and a little bit of mess here and there, But they have been extremely supportive and very much willing to embrace continued opportunities for not only downtown development, but for how we can really activate our citizenry to make this the kind of place we have in our heads and have that become reality, whether it's through the arts, whether it's through economic development, whether it's through expanding our pathway system, you know, collectively, that the quality of life is feeling invigorated, that housing options are increasing, that people are still proud to call Greencastle home, and I hope increasingly so. So I was very glad when I'm able to do that for one last time and do it with vigor, that it's a place that we've all invested in as a community, and I think we're pleased with our investment.
Speaking of investment, you were talking to me before we started recording about a bond that you'd have to take
out. Right, we do. And again, this is legislative action.
Yes.
It was actually taken last year. It affects TIF districts that were put into effect in 1995 or before. And Greencastle did establish a TIF district back in 1992, and we established it on our east side, the industrial side of the city. And in 2011, we combined our different TIF areas. So we have one large TIF, but the highest revenue producing area is in that original TIF district. So for our community, it means this year about $1.2 million in revenue that's going to come in to allow us to do things like expanded facade efforts and roads and other infrastructure projects. Without that, our ability is non-existent. There aren't any other funds available to do it to that magnitude. So the expiration of that 1992 TIF, that legacy TIF in 2025, would have a dramatic impact, because that's when they're supposed to be sunsetting. Last year, we were told that if we wanted that to continue, we would have to have a bond out against that TIF. We'd have to need to be repaying that bond through that TIF area. We have never bonded from our TIF. A lot of communities have a practice of doing that. That hasn't been ours. We've been more on pay-as-you-go. If you can afford it, you can do it. If you can't, then you wait till next year and you've got more accumulated funds. So we started saying to each other, those accumulated funds aren't going to be there unless we take some action. The state legislature this year has decided not to extend that deadline. So unless we have a TIF, a legacy TIF, that's being bonded against, that being used as collateral in place by June 30th of this year, then that TIF will indeed sunset on June 30th of 2025. If we do have a TIF of substantial amount, that will still be in effect, so a 25-year, 30-year bond, then we would be able to hold that TIF in place till at least 2040. So needing to do that for the future of our community, when we met with the Redevelopment Commission last week, we talked about the need to do that and asked their permission and got their permission to move forward with bond counsel and also our financial counsel to see what we needed to do in order to get a bond in place. We had two areas, and we wanted to be flexible as we looked at how we might spend that. One of the things that people in this community have felt has been lacking, and it's been on our wish list, if you will, for a long period of time, is a community center. And what that might look like and how many wishes we'd be able to encapsulate in one spot, I don't know. But the chance to actually put a community center in the ground is a reality. The question we've always had is how would we take care of the day-to-day operations? And that issue has not gone away. I don't think we have the population, especially with the university having extraordinary athletic facilities open to their faculty and staff and families. I don't think there's any way that we, just the rest of us who are in Greencastle, can sell enough memberships or be involved enough to make that operating dollar work. But we began conversations with private ability to do a partnership and have those in process right now. And if we're able to strike some kind of reasonable accord that it would be a good public-private partnership that we can build and someone else would run the center, then I think that might rise to the top as our number one objective with a TIF bond. I think the second thing is infrastructure. You know, you mentioned the water line break. We certainly have a lot of road work we would like to do in terms of widening and improving some of our entrances to the city. We've got some waterline work that we would like to do. We have some streets to build that aren't in existence right now that we've talked about. So I think the second area we would concentrate on would be infrastructure. So community center, infrastructure, don't know where we'll go with that, but we will continue down the road to bond against that TIF within the time frame we've been allotted.
At first I was confused about the year. You said 2025 or
That's when the legacy TIFs are going to be sunset unless there's a bond against them. If we get that bond in place, then they will not sunset until 2040. So that, again, you know, for us is an extension of 15 years, and who knows what'll happen beyond that point in time.
Good. Anything else?
I think we'll all be hopeful that the snow stays away from us, that the groundhog was wrong yesterday, and that we'll have an opportunity to get to some spring weather that's going to stay and get us all outside a little more frequently than not, and back in our parks, back on the new splash park, and out on our trails. So hopefully we'll get some good construction bids. Hopefully we'll be ready to get to all of that soon, and we'll see if we can't keep everybody's hopes for a better future alive.